The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.
Eklund with a shot. He scores! William Eklund caps an astounding comeback. The Sharks win it!
You're listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide. Morning Tide.
Tyler Toffoli on a brilliant feed from William Eklund. Macklin Severini, his first National Hockey League hat trick. Smith shoots. Score! Will Smith just tied the game!
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
Chuck is being told to get off the ice now, so now it's 6-on-3.
It doesn't matter. Win the faceoff game over.
And that's Wenberg's job against David Camp. 1.9 seconds to go. The faceoff is dropped. Wenberg draws it back. He delays. He gets a piece of it. The horn sounds. And this game is over. What a victory for the Sharks in the matinee game after Thanksgiving. The men in teal come out to congratulate Yaroslav Askarov, who made 32 saves in a remarkable afternoon performance. And on the other side of the ice, the dejected Canucks leave as the Sharks win 3-2.
It's a character win. Great response after a tough loss in Denver. This maturing team, San Jose Sharks, finding a way to win these one-goal games. Whereas last year, I believe they had 21 of those that they lost. This is a team that is growing. This is a team that has found a goaltender to make the big saves. Outshot by 10. Didn't matter. Great character win by the San Jose Sharks.
Askie, you have been the first star a lot of times lately. How much are you enjoying being able to talk to this crowd?
That's been awesome. That's a great bounce by us. So great bounce back. So get 2 points. So that's good.
What can you say about how this team played in front of you today, especially on the penalty kill?
Unreal. Just one word, unreal. Appreciate you guys. Thank you again. You're the best again. Let's go, Sharks!
No need to say more.
It is difficult, if not impossible, to define something that we would deem as immaculate vibes. But if there are more immaculate vibes, or something that is more of quote-unquote immaculate vibes, than Yaroslav Askarov playing to the crowd after a Sharks win in which he has once again been the star, I would like to hear it. Look at the San Jose Sharks. I have a remarkable stat to bring to you guys, and it's remarkable in the sense that I have not been able to say something like this for a long, long time. 9 wins in the month of November. 9 wins. They lost to Detroit in a shootout. They lost to Calgary. They lost to Seattle. They lost to Ottawa. And they lost to Colorado. Otherwise, they beat Colorado 3-2. Then they won 4 in a row, beating Seattle 6-1, beating Winnipeg 2-1, beating Florida 3-1, beating Minnesota 2-1, beating Utah 3-2, beating LA 4-3, beating Boston 3-1, and yesterday beating Vancouver 3-2. Now, I want to point something out. Colorado, 1-goal win. Winnipeg, 1-goal win. Minnesota, 1-goal win. Utah, 1-goal win. LA, 1-goal win. Yesterday, Vancouver, 1-goal win. We talked so often last year about the fact that if the San Jose Sharks were able to turn 50% of those one-goal losses or one-plus-an-empty-netter type games into wins, that they would be in the playoff conversation. Well, I hate to break it, you guys, but we are at the day after, 2 days after Thanksgiving, and the San Jose Sharks are firmly, resoundingly, and most definitely a part of that playoff conversation. Let's take a look at the West right now. First playoff team is their opponent today. Vegas, 10-6-8, 28 points on the year. Right behind them is Utah with 27 points, 12-10-3. And tied right there is the San Jose Sharks with 27 points in third, 12-10-3. The Sharks over 500 in points, one game under true 500 as they are 12-13 wins losses on the year. They are 6-4 in their last 10, which to me is not indicative of a streaking team, which they are not. They've lost, they've bounced back with a win. They've lost, they've bounced back with a win again. And those are the important things to do for the San Jose Sharks. When they went into Minnesota on the 11th and had that great overtime win, a second overtime win in Minnesota this year, they had two losses shortly thereafter, two of their worst games of the year. But they bounced back with two straight wins. Then they lost to Ottawa. Then they bounced back with a win on the second night of a back-to-back. Then they got blown out by Colorado midweek. Then they came back yesterday and had a bounce-back win against Vancouver. And I think if you're taking the home aspect of a home and away back-to-back like they did yesterday, they're not quite playing with house money going into Vegas. And no, I'm not trying to lean on some sort of a Vegas gambling comparison here, but I think that has to be noted. I think you have to pay attention to that reality that the San Jose Sharks are doing the heavy lifting. They're getting the close wins. They're bouncing back from losses. They're not letting losses turn into losing streaks, which is what we saw in previous seasons. This team is finding ways to win. It's not always the prettiest thing in the world, but it doesn't need to be. It just needs to be 2 points. It just needs to be a win. And I understand we can say, yes, it'd be nice if the Sharks had more convincing wins, more resounding wins, more blowout wins. They're not there yet. But what they are doing is learning how to win the close games. They are learning how to fight through adversity. They are learning how to handle tough penalty kill situations. They are learning how to come from behind. They are learning how to manage life in the NHL and its various demands, of which they did not have the same ability to do so a few short years ago, or even 1 year ago, or even earlier this year in the end of the 24-25 season, or at the start of this 25-26 season. I remind you that they started out 0-4-2, and since then, they have been right there as one of the best teams in the NHL. Now, I know we count all 82 games, regardless of what is good and or bad, but the San Jose Sharks continue to prove themselves as a good team, continue to prove themselves as a capable team. And I was talking to Drew Remenda after the game yesterday. I saw him and Dan and Jamal right before they were about to take off for the plane. And I said, I don't know if this lasts, but I think it's gonna. I think this is going to last. And listen, I could be wrong. I've been wrong before. I will be wrong again. But A, I'm enjoying it regardless of whether or not it lasts. And B, it does feel sustainable in the sense that they are not coming up with heroics to win all these games. Yes, there have been some quote-unquote Macklin moments. There have been some great individual performances, but Yaroslav Askarov has consistently been playing just phenomenally net front. We have been watching just amazing performances from the penalty kill sustain. We have watched Adam Gaudette be a consistent threat. Philip Kurashev be consistent. It's not just about Macklin going supernova. Will Smith had another goal yesterday. The Sharks got William Eklund to finally get back on the score sheet, and they were able to take advantage of that goal. I mean, these are the things that you're looking for consistently from your team. And when you get goals from Will Smith, William Eklund, and Adam Gaudette, you've got two established pieces plus an offseason signing contributing. That's a recipe for a win combined with great netminding and overall really, really high-quality defense. Because I think that when you combine the netminding with the quality penalty kill, with an improving defense and an improving defensive structure and decor that has young guys getting better. And I know that, you know, Mook Madulin didn't play yesterday and Vinny Desharnais was not in the lineup yesterday. There are still things that you're looking for is, can you rotate these guys and get a similar level of performance? And when you have a goalie as good as Yaroslav Askarov has been lately, yeah, that helps you. Now, these are a big part of winning. You know, you want to talk about what the Winnipeg Jets would be like if they didn't have Connor Hellebuyck? You want to talk about Florida and what they'd be without their goalie. Tampa, what they would have been without their goalie in their Stanley Cup run. You can't just qualify these things and say, oh, well, they've got a good goalie. No, that's part of the winning formula. Mike Greer went out and turned the assets of Tomas Hertl into Yaroslav Askarov, and that is a big reason why the Sharks have 9 wins in the calendar month of November. And now they've got a chance for a 10th today before we go into the month of December. But the worst the month of November got was a 2-game losing streak. That is remarkable, guys, a 2-game losing streak. We'd have killed for something like that to be ended a couple years ago. But this team is figuring it out, which consistently remains the most important thing of what we're seeing with the Sharks. Don't let losses turn into losing streaks. You lose two in a row, that's a good team in the NHL if you can bounce back with that and follow it with two wins. That's what the Sharks did when they got back on home ice. Then they lost to Ottawa, then they beat Boston. That's what they're supposed to do. That's what a good team in the NHL does. And for the month of November, the Sharks have not just been good, they've been one of the best teams in the NHL. They had a harsh, harsh reality check going up against Colorado, to which I continue to say that's more about how good Colorado is as opposed to how far San Jose is from being a good team. San Jose is a good team. They just went up against the best team in the NHL, and sometimes the best team is that far out in front. But so many of the little things yesterday in the win were just things that were not happening a year ago. The Sharks went down by scores of 1-0 to tie and then 2-1 to tie. And then they took the lead and never looked back. And one of the things that we've consistently seen this year is how bad the Sharks' second periods have been this year. Well, they fell behind 2-1. William Eklund ties it on the power play 2-2 for their second power play goal. And then they score later in the period by way of Adam Gaudette getting a sixth goal of the season to make it 3-2, and that was good for your final. But that's a good second period that includes a power play goal and coming from behind 2-1 to take a 3-2 lead. We combine that with the fact that the Sharks also got the break, right? Like, I didn't love all the officiating yesterday. I thought that Vancouver was diving and or embellishing on a couple of those plays. I wish that Timothy Liljegren was that strong. I wish that Macklin Celebrini was that strong. By the way, if you've not seen the clip of Macklin Celebrini screaming at the ref after he got 4 minutes on that penalty, you should go watch it. Just search Macklin Celebrini on X or Instagram. You'll find it. He's slamming his stick against the glass from inside the box, just furious, just being a maniac of a competitor. You love having that guy on your team. But again, the Sharks catch the breaks. They come from behind. They win the second period, and then they lock it down in the third. That is a recipe that is telling you of how good teams know how to win tight games in the NHL. And then the other aspect of this, and I think this probably needs to be looked at a little bit more, I don't know if, again, we're going to a subjective vibe, but I am saying it is something that you should do if you want to be a good team in the NHL. Right now, the Vancouver Canucks have 22 points on the season. San Jose Sharks, going into yesterday's game, had 25 points. Well, San Jose was the better team on paper. They were better in their last 10, and I felt like the Sharks should be the favorite to win. I felt like this is a game that is a quote-unquote scheduled win in the sense that, yes, they're the better team on paper. They should be able to beat this Vancouver team. They walk away with a win. Today, some might consider it a scheduled loss, playing Vegas on the second night of a home and away back-to-back, Vegas being one of, in my opinion, the best teams in the NHL, even if they're not quite there on paper yet. They are fourth in the division, and they have fewer wins than San Jose, but one more point. I still look at what they are in the grand scheme. I still look at what they are and where I think they will end up. They're 3-3-4 in their last 10. They've not been playing great, but the fact is, Vegas is a very good, dangerous team. That said, San Jose needed a miraculous turn of events for Vegas in the first game of the year for Vegas to beat them. In that game, Vegas was on the second night of a back-to-back. Maybe fortunes will reverse this time with San Jose on the second night of a back-to-back. I can't tell you what's going to happen. If I could, consistently, I would probably be in Vegas with the team right now, not just putting money on the San Jose Sharks, but clearly I have no idea what's going to happen, and we're all going to find out together at 7 o'clock tonight right here on the Sharks Audio Network. But so many things in the month of November with one game left to play have felt overwhelmingly positive, overwhelmingly sustainable, indicative of what the Sharks have been building towards for some time now. And the other part is just a whole heck of a lot of fun to watch. And that was a true sellout at the Tank yesterday. That was not a let's call it a sellout. That was a every seat in the building was accounted for. All those tickets had been dispersed. Every seat was packed yesterday. That's how it used to be. I remember back the year after the Sharks fell to the Kings in the playoffs. It was the 14-15 year, the 1 year in that run they didn't make the playoffs, and the Red Wings were in town, and I remember looking out and seeing empty seats, and I was like, what? And keep in mind, this is closer to that rivalry. The Sharks had just beaten them in the playoffs in 2011 in that seven-game series where the Sharks gave up a 3-0 lead. Then it went in game seven, and the Sharks won it that year. But I remember looking out at the crowd and seeing empty seats that year with the Red Wings and just thinking, this is not reality. This is not what this team is supposed to be. This is not what this rivalry is supposed to be. Empty seats. I think fans were pissed and they were, you know, tired of the narrative being the same. And then, of course, after that year, the Sharks made a run to the Stanley Cup final. And then that, in the next season, 15-16. And then after that, they had a couple of nice runs towards the end of that overall era. But the point is that was kind of the first time I had seen empty seats. And for a decade, other than when the Sharks, you know, were really, really good in 2018-19 and, you know, different points of that Stanley Cup season, empty seats have been, I won't say the norm, because I'll never consider empty seats at the Tank the norm, but they were just more of the reality of what you would see outside of, you know, the big games. But Vancouver on a Saturday afternoon is not, quote unquote, a big game. That's not Detroit in town. That's not Boston in town. That's not the Leafs in town. That's not the Rangers in town. You know, that's not the rivalry with Vegas. This is Vancouver, and it's a sellout because people want to come see these San Jose Sharks. They want to watch what the San Jose Sharks can do. They want to see what everyone is talking about, of which I cannot blame them. Everyone's talking about the Sharks. Everyone's watching Macklin Celebrini be one of the leading scorers in the NHL just behind Nathan MacKinnon. Everyone's watching William Eklund, Yaroslav Askarov, right? Like, these are all these young, remarkable talents that are so much fun of what we're seeing with the San Jose Sharks. Plus, you get the fun of newcomers. Adam Gaudette, that celebration on the bench yesterday, that reminded me of what we saw from the Warriors, you know, in their run, when guys were just having fun. Fun, guys. It's not about always just the maniacal level of competition and square jaws and squinted eyes getting ready to try and go up for a difficult situation. It was goofy. It was fun. Adam Gaudette's a great guy. You know, the interview I did with him the other day, if you haven't listened to it, go check it out. But the overall fun that those guys were having on the bench, celebrating a break going their way, they are loose. And I know that I used the reference to playing with house money earlier. And I'm not just trying to make this some Vegas-centric opening segment here, but this is what the San Jose Sharks are doing right now. They were not expected to be this good. They were not expected to be as talented as they are right now. They were not expected to be in the playoff race after the Thanksgiving holiday. None of this was part of the narrative. And I think they don't care. No F's are given. And so they're having fun. Just like the Warriors used to have fun. Just like you used to see Tim Lincecum and Brian Wilson, you know, screwing around inside the Giants dugout, throwing sunflower seeds around. You go back to the A's back in the day and how much fun they used to have right around the turn of the century, 2000, 2001, 2002, 2003. Young guys, the narrative was not that they were supposed to be that good. One of the things that used to bug me about that is they used to say, oh, the A's are so young, they don't even understand the pressure of the situation they're in. Yeah, they did. They were watching sports their entire lives. When you're 14 years old and you're watching the World Series, you never think to yourself, boy, I don't understand this. You're like, no, it's the blanking World Series. So of course the A's understood it. Of course the Warriors understood it when they were going above and beyond. Of course the Sharks understand it now when they are going above and beyond. The real test is whether or not they can keep it going. Now, 10 wins every single month, that's difficult. I don't expect that level of sustainability. But I do expect them to be able to shut down losses, not let it turn into longer losing streaks. And I think they have found a formula to win in the NHL, especially the close games. The close games are the most important aspect of a team like the Sharks that is coming out of a rebuild. Past couple of years, the one-goal games have bit them hard. And we always said if they could win those one-goal games, they would be overall in the playoff conversation, or at least nowhere near the levels of, oh my God, I can't believe this team is this bad type conversation. And I don't say that in the pejorative. I just say that in the reality, because they were just, they would lose, and they would lose consistently and not with nearly enough wins punctuating those losses. I mean, think about it. If you only win 20 games in a season, in an 82-game season, that's one or fewer than one out of every four games by the percentage point. Yikes. And guys, we're on the completely polar opposite end of that. The Sharks are winning consistently, and they're giving all of us one hell of a show along the way. All right, let's get into some of the game highlights out of yesterday. After falling behind 1-0 early, it was Will Smith who tied things up for San Jose on a power play goal.
Wenberg walks out of the corner with it. Fan of the puck, Celebrini recovers. 38 seconds on the power play as now Wenberg turns, throws to Smith, he scores! Will Smith finishes it off and ends a 7-game goalless drought. A power play goal for Will Smith makes it 1-1 with 10:35 to go in this first period.
I love when streaks end on top of each other. You saw Will Smith's goalless streak end. And then we saw William Eklund get a goal of his own because the Sharks had fallen behind 2-1 in the second period. And it was Ecky who once again tied it for San Jose.
Sharks win the draw. Eklund got it back to Klingberg. Now to the right. Celebrini doesn't shoot. Good coverage by Myers. Moves to the middle. Now far side. Score! William Eklund gets the pass from Celebrini and rips it past Tolopino. It's a 5-on-3 power play goal. Eklund ties the game 2-2, and the Sharks stay on the man advantage.
We're 2-2 at that point. The Sharks looking for more momentum, and it was Adam Gaudette in a sequence that had to be reviewed that gave the Sharks a 3-2 lead they would not look back from.
As Toffoli taps it behind the net, penalty is over. Kurashev near side, and grabbing it there, Gaudette tried to jam it in to the short side, but that's a solid, stellar save by Tolopito, and we get a break in the action. 4:43 to go, second period. It's an exciting afternoon matchup. The Sharks and the Canucks all even at 2 goals apiece. We have an NHL situation room scenario unfolding here at SAP Center at San Jose. Apparently, a little backhand play toward the net that we thought was stopped by Nikita Tolopito off of Adam Gaudette's attempted jam-in is being reviewed to see if the puck crossed the goal line. That was a pretty nifty play by Gaudette on his backhand.
Yeah, and he got it to the net quickly, and you could see the glove of the goaltender get the puck, but what I think they're going to be looking at is whether or not his glove was actually in the net.
The call is no goal on the ice, by the way. That is also significant, as they will take a look at it on the iPads and also back at the Situation Room in Toronto. 15 minutes, 17 seconds gone by in the second period. And we will see if they call it no goal as they initially did on the ice. Here comes Riley Brace, the referee.
At 4:44 in the second period, the puck completely crossed the goal line. We have a good goal.
Wow. Sharks take the 3-2 lead. And how about Adam Gaudette getting head taps on the bench with a big grin on his face? Don't forget, he was drafted and played 4 years for the Vancouver Canucks. So this one's a big deal for him. It's his 6th goal of the season, and the Sharks suddenly have a 3-2 lead.
What a great moment for Adam Gaudette and the entirety of the Sharks team. And one of the things that I can't get over is how much fun they were having, is the fact that they were just enjoying themselves out there on the ice. And I think having fun, enjoying the game in front of you, that is so huge for what San Jose is going through right now in this process of trying to establish themselves as a consistent team in the NHL, even amidst the tension, even amidst the harsh realities of life in the NHL, they're having fun. And that's dangerous. And how can you not have fun when you've got your Yaroslav Askarov continuing to make huge stop after huge stop?
Sherwood put it back to the point. Hughes shoots through a screen. Great save by Askarov. Dropping down to his knees and making another clutch stop against the Canucks, who are trying to come back in this game on the power play.
And we have to talk about the Sharks coming up big on the penalty kill throughout this game, because there were some calls that I think we all did not appreciate, but that's reality in the NHL. But the Canucks had 8 power plays. The Sharks did not give up a goal. Colin Graf was huge in that. Yaroslav Askarov was huge in that. Ty Dellandrea was huge in that. Just remarkable moments throughout the game. And it all led up to the Sharks getting a huge, huge 3-2 win the day after Thanksgiving on home ice.
Oh, Stopchuk is being told to get off the ice now. So now it's 6-on-3.
It doesn't matter. Win the faceoff, game over.
And that's Wenberg's job against David Camp. 1.9 seconds to go. The faceoff is dropped. Wenberg draws it back. He delays. He gets a piece of it. The horn sounds. And this game is over. What a victory for the Sharks in the matinee game after Thanksgiving. The men in teal come out to congratulate Yaroslav Askarov, who made 32 saves in a remarkable afternoon performance. And on the other side of the ice, the dejected Canucks leave as the Sharks win 3-2.
It's a character win. Great response after a tough loss in Denver. This maturing team, San Jose Sharks, finding a way to win these one-goal games, whereas last year, I believe they had 21 of those that they lost. This is a team that is growing. This is a team that has found a goaltender to make the big saves. Outshot by 10, didn't matter. Great character win by the San Jose Sharks.
And again, in the background, once again, you get to hear the music. You get to hear the fans cheering. The tank is rocking. I keep on saying it feels like old times. Maybe we just need to say it feels like the new era. It feels like we are finally not in a point of which we are always looking at the past to where we can look at the present and the future, because you have Macklin Celebrini and Will Smith and Yaroslav Askarov and William Eklund and Shakir Mukhmudulin and Colin Graf and Adam Goddad and on and on and on and on. And, you know, obviously I'm not specifically leaving anybody else out of there. I'm just talking about, you know, these guys are consistently a part of the formula for wins. Colin Graf on the penalty kill or the empty netter or coming up with big plays throughout the game. Celebrini, Smith, Ostapchuk, Askarov. I mean, it's not by accident, guys. These are the players that you acquired. These are the players that you signed. These are the players that you drafted, and they're performing. They're leading you to wins. Let's get some post-game commentary from head coach Ryan Warsawski after the San Jose Sharks posted their ninth win of the month in a 3-2 thriller against Vancouver.
Yeah, I think we'll get in results. You know, I think this, you guys are going to think I'm crazy, but I still think it's on the level to our game that we can get to consistently to put teams on their heels a little bit. But again, we did some good things. We've gotten some really good goaltending. You know, I think we've won in different ways. That's a big positive. We've won with our special teams now. We've won the tight games. We've jumped on teams early and scored, you know, so that we've done won in different ways. But again, we've gotten results, but there's still another level we can get to.
And that has to be the mentality, right? You can't be a coach in the NHL and be like, yep, this is as good as we're going to be. This is it, guys. This is our ceiling. No, you have to look at how you can get better. You have to look at what you can do within your game to have your team take that next step. Because while the Sharks were good in the month of November, he knows they have to prove it again in the month of December, and they still have one more game today taking on Vegas. Again, 7 o'clock start time, 6:30 pregame, right here on the San Jose Sharks audio network. But you can't be satisfied with success in the short term. You can't be satisfied with close wins. You need to strive for more. You need to have this team be ready to take that next step. And I think that's what Ryan Warsawski is looking at. He's saying, okay, we are winning the tight games. Let's turn these tight games into convincing wins. Let's not have every game be a stress meter of 8, 9, and 10 with an absolute, you know, nail-biter finish. Let's control games. That's got to be the next level. First step is win. We can all acknowledge that. The next step is to win convincingly along with winning consistently. They've won consistently. They've won tight games. But now they need to take that next step and just take over games, put them out of reach, and know how to control that type of a game to the end. That's what Vegas, I think, by the end of the season will be doing. That's what Colorado is capable of doing. Those are, you know, some experienced high-level teams who know how to win consistently in the NHL. Let's hear what Warzo had to say about Colin Graf, who was once again phenomenal yesterday. Such a smart player, breaking up passes, always in guys' faces on the penalty kill, a huge part of why the Sharks killed off 8 man advantages for Vancouver yesterday.
Yeah, we've asked for a lot from Colin. You know, he's been on the power play, big time on our penalty kill, late in games, checking line, been up in the top 6. So, you know, this, I thought it was a good game from him. That play in particular was something that we've talked about is staying into people and not coming off and staying on the hunt. So, did a really good job defending Garland there.
And Warsawski also was aware of how loud the tank was and has been as of late.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it definitely gets loud, and we feed off the energy, and we want them to keep coming. We got to keep winning and putting a product that they're proud of. So again, I think we've taken a nice step so far this year. We got a long way to go, and I still think the best is ahead of us.
Let the good times roll as the San Jose Sharks are in the playoff conversation, are coming off yet another win, have had a remarkable month of November with one game left to play. It's full steam ahead. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tonight. The Sharks in Vegas taking on the Knights, looking to avenge their Game 1 loss of the season. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yeti.